Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Morgan, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Morgan.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant us serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and your wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs, right through that door to the left and up the stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are on step 11. Please welcome Bob and Donald. I'll read the first paragraph, and then the panel will share a few minutes each on the reading. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. First reading is going to be on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we self-resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Whichever one of you guys wants to go first.
After you.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Bob Edwards.
Hey, Bob.
My home group's Fellowship of the Spirit in Gloucester, Virginia. It's been my home group now for the last 16 of my 29 years. My anniversary date is December 28, 1988. I'll forever be grateful to this fellowship and the God of my understanding for keeping me sober. I only follow a path. This is not something I can do by myself. It took a while for me to understand that, but I'm very grateful for sponsorship John P. is my third sponsor, and he's been my sponsor for the last almost 20 years of 29 years. And you know what? There isn't anything I won't share with John, and there isn't anything he won't share with me. And I'll tell you why he's still my sponsor, because he still demonstrates on a yearly basis something that I want to be like. And I love him, and I'm grateful that he's in my life. Grateful to be here. I want to thank David for the opportunity of doing that. I wasn't going to do that because I thought I'd signed up for this, but he said no. That didn't go out to everyone, Bob, so I thank you, David, for the invite. And it's nice to be down here and see friends that I've known some of you for quite some time, actually. Sought through prayer and meditation, for me now, at this stage of my sobriety, is what keeps me and my ego in check. Without spiritual progress, I'm going to go back to my own thinking. And my practice of the steps is through the paragraph that Morgan just read. These seven questions are the exact questions I need to answer on a nightly basis. And what it does for me is, when I'm doing this, I'm talking to God. This whole thing is a prayer to me. The other thing you need to know about my prayer life is I usually do it verbally. The reason I do that out loud is because I used to skip over little things as if maybe God didn't know that that took place during the day. And I got to tell you that to this day, it keeps me looking at my honesty very, very closely, because I can go left to center just about at any time. And I don't take my recovery for granted. My power comes from your direction and from my relationship with my higher power. And if there's anyone that's actually taking any kind of notations on this, I can give you some page numbers that will lead you directly to why we talk to God on a daily basis. And it's page 25, page 45, there's two paragraphs there, or sentences, 43, 53, 57, 60, C, God could and would if he were sought. You remember that one? 84, and of course 85, where we're at tonight, talking about tonight. It's not that I don't review all the other steps. I do, because I have sponsees that I work with, and two of which I have in the book right now. You know, so this is what keeps me fresh and keeps me honest as well. But it's my relationship with my higher power that has moved me into, out of my thinking with my brain, and more of the thinking within, deep within me. And the book talks about, at some point we'll find God, and it'll be deep within us. And I believe that today. It's heartfelt. This gives me a lot of gratitude to share with you that I do this every morning, very early in the morning. And it gets my day centered. And as I said to you earlier, I can go left to center pretty quickly, but I can recenter myself just as quickly because of this step and because of the 12 steps. Without honesty, I've got no program. I can sit here and collect chips, but I probably won't be the happiest character in the room. And today I am. Not only am I comfortable with me and you, and thank God because you saved my life and you're still saving it, but the other thing is I like me today. And it took years, really, it took years for me to get to that point. And you'll probably laugh at this, but I say it when I speak now, and that is, I like the guy I go to bed with at night. And more importantly, I like the guy I wake up with in the morning, and I never liked him. I never liked him when I'd wake up in the morning. Matter of fact, I detested myself towards the end of my drinking. So the 11th step in these seven questions are really important in starting my day. And they give me the inspiration and the understanding that no matter what your chip, no matter what the new number on your chip is, it's a one day at a time program, and it's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. And I can't live on my honesty of 5 years ago. I have to stay active in the program, and I can sit here tonight and tell you I've never not been active in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, whether it be service, sponsorship, speaking, doing what I'm here to do tonight, sharing my experience with you. If you're not into the 11th step, and some people hesitate on this one, you know what? The only thing standing in the way of you getting real release and freedom in your life is you. You know, my ego is what gets in the way. And the 11th step helps me to put that to the side and think about other people, which is a real rarity for an alcoholic. I still like to think about me. I was thinking about Donald tonight when I didn't see a tie on, so I just thought I'd do this out of courtesy. At least my sponsor knows I wore the tie. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for busting me out, Bob. Donald Smith, alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 17th, 1994. I have a home group, it's a West Kent group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet on Wednesday night at the St. Andrew's Church at the social hall at St. Andrew's, no, the auditorium at St. Andrew's Church on Graydon Avenue. No, I keep doing that. On Princess Anne Road, excuse me. I want to thank Dave for allowing me to sign up by sending me a special email. You know, I really do like this step an awful lot. I think that for me, you know, I think the thing for me that when I first came around here, I didn't know how crazy I really was. I just didn't understand that dynamic. I knew I drank a lot, and I knew that that a lot of my problems were my own because I drank a lot. But I knew that most of my discontentments were because you weren't quite right. There was something not right with you and the way you related to me. Now, you related to other people okay, but you just didn't like me very much, and I didn't understand that. That kind of made me mad. I thought that because when I'm drinking, I'm thinking, well, you know, it's really not your problem. It's my problem. Don't bother me anymore. Leave me alone. That was kind of my attitude towards everything. I did that for a long, long time. I mean, you know, 25 years. So I get here and the alcohol leaves my system, but that thinking is still there. And so working the steps helps me to get rid of that thinking, that attitude towards God and the people around me. But I can't do that without God's power. And you know, and my first got here, I was an atheist, so I'm not gonna do God. God's something that, you know, weak people do and stupid people in AA do and that kind of thing. But I could do the group because I was so intensely anti-spiritual stuff. But I had a kind of it's a long story, but I did the group at first, and as time went on, something started happening where I started seeing difference, and my attitude towards the spirit changed a little bit, and it started changing a little bit. Then I kind of thought that I became sort of almost like polytheistic. that the world had all this spiritual stuff in it, you know, and you and it was like the trees and the rocks and all that kind of stuff.
Pantheistic. So
that's it. There you go. Pantheistic. Pantheistic, polytheistic. I had all these weird ideas going in, and I'm like, you know, 5 or 6 years sober, but I'm starting to go a little crazy because I'm not looking in the right place for sobriety. So, you know, I'm looking outside of myself, and so that included, along with all the pantheistic stuff, I'm thinking about the car, the job, you know, the stuff, the material stuff that I think I should be getting. And what's happening is that then I start thinking kind of weird thoughts. And then I start getting mad at you. And I start, you know, taking the resentment and doing it. And I had worked the steps, so I knew resentment will kill you. But I really wasn't in the book like I was back then, as I am now. So I get in the book, I read, I do all this really intense stuff. And the questions that are asked in the fourth step are asked in this step. The manifestations of self are being resentful, being selfish, being dishonest, and being afraid. And I didn't know that until I got in the book and did an inventory in the book and read it with my sponsor. So I get to this step, and here's the other problem I'm having. As much as I want you to think I know what I'm doing, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I just don't know. So how am I supposed to keep this conscious contact with a power greater than myself if I don't really know what's going on in my life in the first place? And I get here and it says, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And I had heard early on that, you know, the best thing, if you don't know much about this 11th step, the best thing you can do when you pray in the morning is ask God for the power to carry out His will. Even if you don't know what it is, you don't know anything, I don't have the power to implement anything, really. Any time I try to do things on a self-willed basis, I screw it up. And it may not get screwed up the first time or the first minute or two, but eventually I set the ball in motion because I'd make an action based on self. And that self is usually dishonest, resentful, afraid, and selfish. And so I do these things. So I got to ask for God's power to do that. So, but this here, I would just say this real quick. I know I can't talk the whole time about this because this is a really great paragraph, but most people don't do this. This is like one of the most underutilized part of the steps that I've ever seen. And I'm one of them. I use it an awful lot, but I used to not use it. Because it was just too hard, you know. I don't want to have to do this every night. And I would, you know, my sponsor made me write it down. I had to write it down the first 6 months so I could get these questions drained in my head. And the thing I love the most about this is, what can I pack into the stream of life? I was interested in what I could take out of the stream of life because it was about me getting what I want and I could get it any way I wanted. But these questions were just, I mean, they were really incredible. Do I owe an apology? Well, you know, apology? Sometimes making an apology makes me want to throw up. Even when I think I'm right, I sometimes have to apologize because my presentation was horrible. Was I kind and loving towards all? What could I have done better? And this is all what Bob is talking about, trying to improve my spiritual contact, my spiritual life, and the way I deal with people around me. Because, frankly, when I get here, I don't know how to do that. I'm horrible at it. And then recently, I guess after about maybe, you know, 15, 16 years, I started falling asleep at night. I'd go lay on the couch and be sitting there watching television, and I was meaning to do that inventory at night, and then I'd go back to sleep. I'd wake up in the morning, and I'd do the morning stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. I don't want to jump ahead too far. But the evening stuff, I just could never get done. I just could not find the time. I'd be okay, you know, and then at times I would do it, but I talked to somebody out in Colorado. He came here and he did as he spoke, and he was really into this stuff, and he suggested that I do it at like 5 or 6 in the afternoon when I was ending my day, before I go have dinner and do these other things, that you can do this review anytime at the end of the day, and it's beneficial. And I'm going to tell you, it is absolutely an essential part of what I do. And the thing is that it's so incredible about it, about this life that we're living, or that I'm living, is that when I got here, the highway was broad and roomy and open to all. You know, and then as the time goes on, it gets more narrower and more narrow and more narrow. And I have certain things I have to do, because if I don't, I start going crazy. And that's important for me to know. And that may not mean I'll start drinking tomorrow or in a month or two, but it means that I will act ways and do certain things. And over time, I'll be living in untreated alcoholism. And then a drink becomes an option. And that's not the place I need to be. So there's more, but I'll be quiet. The other thing is, after making my review, I ask for forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Wow. How do I get the answer to those questions? I ask, and then I wait. Wake up in the morning, and usually the answer's there. Thank you.
The next reading is on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon.
You know, most of three of my short prayers come from this particular step, and one he just read, and that is, I always ask that God divorce me from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. You know, what I learned about applying this step to my life on a daily basis is, way back in the beginning of the steps, probably within the first four steps, there's when it talks about God and people's resistance to it, and it says that we got to get rid of our preconceived ideas. Well, lately in my life, what I've come to realize as a result of working this step diligently is I still have a lot of preconceived ideas. And Donald touched on it. Sometimes you can ping me with a statement that I take completely opposite of the way you and it just triggers something from my history from way back when. And that preconceived thinking is right there, and it's right getting ready to fly right out of my mouth. And I'm talking about in recent times. I'm not talking 10 years ago. I'm talking about right now in my life. If you're wondering why do we need to do this when you got a lot of years in the program, it's because I have to. I can't not do this. My old thinking will come in on me when I least expect it. And the thing about it is, I can feel spiritually on top of the mountain, and all you got to do is say one wrong thing and then look at me the wrong way. Like that. And And something just wells up in me, and I mean, I can feel myself just bristling and getting ready to let go. And what that tells me is I got a ways to go, you know. And what I was told early on, very early on in the program, this is a journey, it's not a destination, Bob. There's three factors to getting sober and staying sober. And that's open-mindedness, willingness, and honesty. And that open-mindedness was simply this, that I have to become teachable. And when I stop being teachable, I'm really, it's like walking up and down the elevator, one of those escalators. And if you stop to praise yourself for a month or a year or so, or maybe cut back on your meetings, you're going down and you don't even know you're doing it. And this step in all phases of these three pages of the 11th step keeps me honest. It keeps me aware that I'm not running the show. When I pray, I always end it, and I didn't always do this. I always end it with, thine will be done, not mine. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but I want to tell you, you know, in this it says we shouldn't be praying for our stuff for ourselves, only if it is a benefit to other people. I pray for other people. I know a lot of people with serious diseases, and I pray for them, but I always preface it in the end with the same thing, but thine will, not mine be done. And that discipline, which we'll talk about in the very last two sentences of this step, is what I need. I am an alcoholic, and the book told me way back in the early stages that I am undisciplined. And the reality is, what I just shared with you is, I can get undisciplined and off the spiritual epoch right away. And sometimes it's preconceived thinking that I thought I dealt with a long time ago, and it pops right back up and bites me in the, you know what. Inspiration. You know, we all kind of have an idea of our own conception of inspiration. But it's when someone says something that is bothering them, and I've had that experience, but I forgot about it, and they kind of trigger that, and I get that inspiration at that moment to do what God gave us in this program to do, and that is to not try to fix anyone. Let them be right where they're at. But if you got some experience in that area, share it with them. That to me is an inspiration, because I'm attention deficit. Sometimes the sign is right in front of me, and I'm looking to the left and I'm looking to the right, and I can't see what it's saying. And I know in my life today, and this is not me at all, is through the 11th step, I have never had more inspiration in helping people, but not only helping other people, helping myself. And I get that aha moment, like, there's the message right there. And you know, I may not be the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer, but I don't have to be. You know what? What I have to do is do what we're reading here tonight. And if I'll do this, you know what? I will receive intuitive thinking. I can't sit in prayer and wait for it to come on, because it doesn't come to me that way. It comes at the strangest times. But you know what? As soon as I get an intuitive thought, I know instantly it didn't come from me. And I could never recognize that stuff in past years. You know, I'm not sitting here claiming a direct line with God. All I'm telling you is, Donald is right. This is one of the least practiced steps with longtime people in this program. And this is the bread and butter to freedom and the joy. Step 12, the 12th step is the joy of living. That's how it starts, the joy of living. And I've got that. And I can't hang on to it without this step, because this step keeps me in touch with my higher power. Even more so, keeps me in touch with my level of honesty or my level of dishonesty. I can't live on my honesty level of 5 years ago today and be comfortable. I can't do that. You know, so open-minded, honest, and willing, the three essentials, but they are indispensable, is what the book says. That's a fact, and I've proved that to myself, and I'm grateful for it. I have to be a student, and this step keeps me a student in this program, and I'm grateful for that process. Thanks.
I think I'm like Bob. I have to do this because I have to, if I want to stay sober. But I will say this. I also now do it because I want to do it. I have, my life is so much different than it was even 6 months ago. It just is better and better and better. And you know, and I know sometimes, I know I say what I read this and go, I don't have enough time to do this. That's great. Do all this. Get your watches out. I ask God to divorce my thinking of self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking. How long did that take me? Right? So people who say that, they don't know what the heck they're talking about. It blows my mind now. But when I get up in the morning, I'll spend half an hour, because I like meditating too, and I spend some time getting into that. I do it every day. I mean, I do it every day. Probably in my terms of my sobriety, I probably have done it 90% of the time I've been sober, because that's what I was taught to do the very beginning. And the result was self-evident. Number one, I wasn't drinking. And then number two, I got better. My thinking got better. But when I started doing it this way, it just totally changed my life. And the thing is, I don't know how many of you are like me, but for some reason, I'm filled with self-pity sometimes. And that is the most disgusting feeling that I can ever, and I think about it and I think, having self-pity, I don't have any self-pity. And yet I have it, and then it comes and it just pops out, and I'm like, and I can't be dishonest about it. And I can't be self-seeking about it. It is true. It's absolutely true. I hated it. But I also get up in the morning and I tell God that I'm an alcoholic. And without God's help, I can't do anything. I make sure I do all the steps right in a row before I get the day started. Now it says I may face indecision. Any of you ever face indecision during the course of the day? See, the thing that blows me away about this is this gives me a little guide on what I can do on a daily basis. That's why I loved Alcoholics Anonymous from the very beginning. It's so practical. You can just weave it into your life. It's, you know, what the 12th step says, I practice these principles in all my affairs. Well, guess what? You get to learn how to do it right here. And I think that's the message I have to take to other people when I'm sponsoring, when I'm doing other things with them. The message of recovery is this, what we're doing right now, how to do it on a daily basis. When I was drinking, and then maybe for the first 15 years of my sobriety, I thought it was my constitutional right to fight with you. I was confrontational all the time with people. If I didn't like what they said, if I thought they were wrong, I didn't mind telling you. And sometimes I still don't mind telling you. But most of the time, I've learned, number one, how to be a little more diplomatic about what I say, or number two, keep my big mouth shut. Because the problem is that I want to go through my life, and that's my intuitive thought. That comes to me in the heat of me getting ready to go off on somebody, and all of a sudden I hear, don't do that. Or I hear another way of talking. And it's those types of things that help me in my life. And I honestly, I know for a fact that didn't come from me, because I'm just not that way most of, when I was drinking. I'm that way now. That's what's so amazing. I can't say I'm not that way, because I actually am that way now. And I love this line, that we don't struggle. You know, I for the longest time, I thought I had to fight with life, I had to fight with you, I had to fight with myself. I have to fight not drinking. I have to fight going to meetings. I gotta, you know. But if this thing has given me such a great life, why am I fighting with it? You know, what is really the problem here? And do I know the answer to that question? If you don't know the answer to that question, you need to do some inventory. You need to sit down and write, and why am I fighting with myself? Because there's something wrong there. It says we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even ourselves. And if I wait, the right answers come. And you know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes go off and I think, oh yeah, I got the answer. I could tell you a story. Oh my Lord, I don't have time. But I had made this decision to do this thing, and I was absolutely convinced I was going to do it. And within 3 hours, I got a phone call from someone I hadn't heard from in 5 years, and she started telling me. Asked me a question about the very thing I made a decision to do, and I had to answer her question and answer mine at the same time. And at the end, I said, I said, thank you for calling me. You don't know how much help you've been to me today. I didn't tell her what it was because she would not have cared. And I think that is part of what happens in this program. Things like that that you don't expect to come up. So if I had not been awake to what was happening, I would have not answered the phone, for one thing. How many of you don't answer the phone when someone calls you? Go to voicemail, I'll get it later, then you don't do it. Always answer the phone, I think. But I do find that my thinking, as time passes, becomes more and more on the plane of inspiration. You think that's a promise? You think if you do this long enough, you'll get that? It happened to me. Did it happen to you, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that why you wore that tie?
Yeah.
Okay. Bob was inspired. It's the white shirt I have a problem with. No. I'm teasing you, Bob. You're a good guy. I'll be quiet. Never mind. I'm done for now.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We'll continue on page 87. Usually we conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time in doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
So, one of my other regular short prayers has just been read. We ask especially for freedom of self-will. And if I need anything, I need freedom from self-will, because it pops up every day on a regular basis. And the neat part about intuitiveness is I pick up on it much faster today than I did 5 years ago. And, you know, going back to the intuitive thought, or asking for a decision, you're indecisive about something and you ask God and then you let it go and you think, well, You know, but there's still only these three options, Bob. I mean, really, there's still only three options. And then I let it go, and either that night or the next morning or 2 days later, all of a sudden, a fourth option comes into view. And guess what? That's the option. That's my answer right there. And I've had this happen over and over again. And thank God, because it's kept me out of a lot of drama in my... I miss drama sometimes. And I lived in drama for years. Meditation. Let me tell you about meditation. I struggled with meditation. I've talked to a lot of people over the years about everyone I've talked to said they had gone through a long period of struggle, and I can tell you I did. I laid on the floor in my living room. I sat in a hardback chair. Then I'd sat in no chair. I sat on the corner, the coffee table. And I mean, I went in all these positions. And I really didn't understand exactly. I just was trying to put in 15 minutes if I could eke it out, right? And this went on for a long time. And Alfred called me one night, a little over 5 years ago, and he said, hey, they're starting this meditation sangha at the Unitarian Church in Williamsburg on Monday nights. Would you like to try it out with me? And I said, yeah. So off we went. That was 5 years ago. The only time I miss a Monday night in Williamsburg at the Unitarian meditation is when I'm out of town doing what I'm doing right now. And what I learned about meditation is, you've heard I'm sure most of you have heard this, be still and know that I am God. That's what you're doing, you know. But calming my mind was I'm like a rat on acid when I try it. I mean, for years, my brain is just, it's cooking and I can't slow it down. Until I got into this meditation sangha. And we started out with between 6 and 8 people 5 years ago, and now we're 30-some people. And there's something about meditating in a group setting that there's an energy. And it won't take you long to sense it. And that's how I learned to truly be quiet and still and just breathe in and breathe out and get super calm. And open your heart up to whatever, absolutely whatever. And I can meditate up to an hour. I do 20 minutes to 25 minutes every morning. And it's the best way for me to start my day and get my sense that it's not me against the world anymore, Bob. You know, loving kindness, compassion. Who is it that you can help today? Are you going to be attuned to someone's need today in some way? That wasn't my thinking in 1987, I can tell you that. It was far from it. Praying especially for release from self-will, that has helped me. I don't know exactly, I can't explain what it does to me. I say it out loud, and I think the reality is this, you know, when we go back to the wrong motives on page 86, if I am healthy enough, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, to really see the real truth in my motive, and if I ask release from that, I get it. Otherwise, I don't. It just spins in there. The faster I can get in touch with the truth about my motives at any time, in any situation, I can be released from that. And I really believe that that's part of the intuitiveness that I pray and ask for. I think that's what I'm going to end with.
I started meditating when I was drinking, because I heard that the East German gymnastic team was meditating and to Baroque music to get themselves focused before they went out and did their gymnastics. And I said, well, if that's good for communists, I can try it myself. So I did. So I was meditating for a long time. I take about 20 minutes or a little longer sometimes. But usually I just focus on the front of my forehead here and try to push everything out and become very relaxed and kind of let everything kind of be out here and I'm in here. I get to that spot, then I pray. And at that point, I ask God to do all the things we've been talking about doing. And I ask for freedom from self-will. It is, and again, it's not something that is difficult to do. It's not something that you got to work at it. You got to take some time to do it. But the benefits are just incredible. They're just incredible. I will say this. When it says, I don't ask for anything for myself, I only ask if others will be helped. I had a friend of mine that was dying, and I talked to my sponsor at the time, and I said, well, I should pray for this person to get better. And he says, well, maybe he's not supposed to get better. Your job is not, you know, what are you? You're not God. You can't decide how what's going to happen to him. It's none of your business. It's his business. He says, what does the book tell us to do? I said, well, we pray for other people. He said, well, why don't you try praying and asking God to show you how you can be of service to that person in this situation? And then let God do what God's going to do with this person. And I thought, well, damn. All right, so I did. And I got a chance to communicate that to somebody who was dying from pancreatic cancer. And he was all upset about it. And I said, Bill, you know, I said, I understand. But your job is to make sure that the people that remember you well, and that you have made their transition to you going to another place better. Now, this is not me talking. I prayed about this and asked for it. And when I told him, I said, I did the same thing. You need to do the same thing that I'm telling, that I do. Ask God to show you how you can be of service to the people you're going to leave behind. And he did that. But he didn't tell me he did it. So I went to the funeral, the preacher got up there and was talking about how great Bill was and how he's always thinking about other people and how they were going to feel. I was like, holy cow. So it made an impression on him. And he died sober, even with pancreatic cancer. You know, and that was something because he was willing to do it. That's something, that's a heavy thing. You would think, being filled with self-pity, as I normally would be, I'm dying here, you know. He didn't do that. He said, oh, Lord, that's great. And he went out and actually did that. So that is a case, I think, of trying to remember that I'm here to be a service to other people, and I have to ask God for the power and the insight to be able to do that. Because I'm all about me, particularly when my butt's on the line. I'm all about what I can do, what I'm going to get out of this thing, and blah, blah, blah. And that ain't what it's about. That's all I got for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Next reading is also on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
Sutra Prayer and Meditation, written by Gino W. in Little Rock, Arkansas, in the Hour of Power 11-step AA meeting, who's now dead, co-written by Bill Burchard, who spoke about 8 years ago at the Oceanfront Conference. This book was given to me by a guy that I'm bunking with at the North Carolina State Convention this weekend. Terry Glasscock gave me this book in 2012. He said, Bob, try this out. You read 1 week, the whole week long. He said, it will change how you look at your 11th step in your relationship and your spiritual path. I've given, every sponsee I have has this book and loves this book. People I don't sponsor but I love dearly, Buster has this book, Will C. has this book, and they love this book. Arthur has this book. That's just a few people. This book has really opened my eyes to how to approach my spiritual life and how to live it, how to actually live it. I know that this isn't AA literature, but it was just read here. There are many helpful books. Religious people being right, you know, that still kind of bristles with me. I've got two son-in-laws and two daughters. One son-in-law is an ordained minister, and his wife, my daughter, is a certified religious child educator. My other daughter's been a missionary for about 28 years now, along with my other son-in-law. And I finally come to grips with, I don't need to convince anyone what is right or wrong about their beliefs or how they get in touch with their higher power. But I absolutely believe that the freedom that this program gave me to make and find my own higher power, the God of my understanding, which really took me back to my childhood. You know, I just didn't know how to make a relationship with it. I was raised with two Christian, loving Christian parents, and I'm an only child. I mean, they gave me love, they gave me everything, and raised me in church. When I started drinking, man, I mean, all that stuff went out the window. So I could sit in the bar drunk and talk values and principles all night long and be right. I just couldn't demonstrate them. As an alcoholic, I could not demonstrate them. And some of you have heard me talk about this before. I tell it every time I tell my story because it's a fact. You know, and now I'm back, and it's taken a lot to get me back and to be, you know what, religious people are right because it's all right for them, and I don't have a dog in that fight anymore. I don't need to be in contention with anyone anymore. Whatever you believe is what you believe, but you better believe it. You know, that's what the book tells me. You better have one. You better have one. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll be very quick. Religious people are right. All right, so. And I will make use of what they offer when I need to. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I don't. And that's the way I am, so. I mean, that's my experience. I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Looks like we're kind of, we're about out of time.
Well, can I say one more thing then?
Yeah. Go for it.
I got that extra minute.
Well,
you remember?
You definitely do. I just don't want to read the end of it and then, it'll definitely set us up.
The only reason why I want to say, I'll be real quick and then Bob can talk too. But this last part here, it says, when we go through the day, we pause and agitate or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. You just saw me pause, remember? I said, I pass, I paused. thank you. This is I do this. I can't tell you how often this has been. This has been just. This is a godsend of advice. And I have to ask for help to do this. I have to actually, because I will get all wound up and stuff, and I forget because I'm agitated. I don't do it so much when I'm doubtful, but when I'm agitated, I always pause when I'm doubtful. Because that's the nature of like being selfish. my whole gyroscope's out of wait a minute, what's going on? But when I'm agitated, I'll go like that. So I gotta ask for the right thought or action. And I remind myself that I'm no longer running the show. You know? And then I humbly ask God to show me what to be done. Thy will, not mine, be done. And then I'm in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decisions. I become more efficient. Whoa! Talk about practicality. I love that. I'm more efficient. I don't tire so easily. I'm not burning up energy foolishly. I'm not trying to arrange life to suit myself. All that is just incredible. And it's absolutely what happens. And I love being in danger of excitement. How many of you like being in danger of excitement? I know I do. There you go. One person is honest, raise their hand. I know I do, but that's a dangerous thing to get to sometimes. So I just love that thing. It's a great thing, and it says alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us the way we just outlined. And that whole thing is what I have to do every morning to ask God, just help me get disciplined. Show me what I have to do. Help me to pause, agitated or doubtful. And save me from the danger of excitement sometimes.
I would say that the pause is probably the primary reason that I have less drama in my life today. I mean, if there's drama, I'm the one that's creating it. And, you know, I was told a long time ago, if you can't handle something and you can't change it, remove yourself from it. And I have had to do that on a few occasions, but that was my pause, was just leaving, just turning around and walking away, rather than creating the drama. That short sentence has cleaned up my day like you would not believe. Just to hold my tongue and know that, you know what, I want to say this with everything in me, but there'll be no benefit, and this will play in my head for the next 48 hours, and you know what, I can let it go. Not easy for alcoholics to do. And the part where it says we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this simple way we have just outlined, and yet very few people use this on a daily basis. And I'm telling you, you're missing the best part of the joy in Alcoholics Anonymous, really, in sobriety. Thank you.
All right, let's take a seat.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. All right, I'm going to pass the seven tradition baskets.
I need to get you.
Here
you
go.
Right, the seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, / central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements?
We have to put this room back the way we found it, and what we can use some help with after the prayer is just unhooking these chairs and just stacking them no higher than two, and then we'll load them up on a cart and get them out of here. And if you received an email today that said that the thing that Morgan's about to talk about is happening 2 weeks from tonight, I just want you to know that I know that it's 3 weeks from tonight. And you don't need to come tell me. Thanks.
I didn't even, you know, now that you said that, I didn't even realize that you put 2 weeks and it's actually three. So thanks for clarifying.
I have an announcement. On September, and we don't know what Saturday yet, BJ is going to be speaking at my home group at Fellowship of the Spirit in Gloucester, Virginia at Abington Church. David just spoke there the other night. And there are several people in the room know how to get to Fellowship of the Spirit. As soon as I get the exact Saturday from BJ, she'll let you know. Thanks.
That thing that David was just briefly talking about is Supper and a Speaker. It will be right here in this room, Monday, August 6th, 6 p.m. potluck. Bring a dish if you wish. We would love to have you. All are welcome. The speaker will be Paul McHugh from Rockaway Beach, New York. You don't want to miss this. So, yeah, you should definitely come. That's all for me.
Are there attractive flyers?
Oh, there's a lot of these attractive flyers. So grab a stack. Take them to your group. Take them with you. And, you know, give them to people and stuff like that. Make sure all your friends have them.
Over there?
They're right over there on this beautiful literature table over there. In case you
need to. Where are they?
Right there.
By the inferior literature display?
No pause there, was there?
That's good. All right.
I noticed it.
Any more announcements? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hands? Newcomers, is there anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety? Not to embarrass you, we'd like to welcome you.
Welcome.
AJ,
welcome.
Chris, alcoholic.
Chris, welcome. Glad you're here.
Mac, alcoholic.
Mac,
welcome.
I'm Paige, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Paige, welcome.
Literature is available on that table that we were just talking about right over there. You can see any of the home group members after the meeting. If you'd like to buy a book, if you can fold it, it's free. No, the little books you cannot fold. You've got to pay for those. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be right here at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, let's thank the panel one more time. Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the stuff discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol. It's on 22nd and Colonial. If you cross the tracks, you've gone too far. Let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Well,
Father,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much.